Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning, 7:35 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Joyce Goh here in the studio with me. And we're ready to take a look at the Forex markets as we start the week. On the line from Singapore is Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia Pacific at Awanda.
Hi, Stephen. December will be upon us this Friday, kicking off the countdown to 2018. And as we will be moving into the new year soon, what is your global foreign exchange outlook for 2018 and what's your investing strategy for the upcoming new year?
Yeah, good morning, Joyce, and thanks for having me on the show. I guess that my view is the dollar is in for a considerably rough ride in 2018. So it really comes down to which currency do I prefer against the U.S. dollar. I think looking at what's ahead of us objectively here, I think the euro will continue to stand out and likely outmuscle anything the greenback has to offer. You know, so far in 27, if we look at the euro's ascendance, it's gained nearly 12% against the dollar, and I expect this will continue as the markets increasingly price in a more hawkish lean from the ECB, given the economic data, which continues to jump ahead of all market expectations in Europe. So I think that repricing the ECB is the critical factor in that call. Dollar yen actually looks a little bit questionable. I think early in the year I had pegged the dollar yen to be one of my more favorable currencies, but I think the drift may change here because it seems like the Bank of Japan may just be adjusting their yield curve target, and this could possibly catch investors off guard. So I'd be looking to sell the dollar yen on any rebound on readjustments from the Bank of Japan yield curve target. And then the one outside call would be the Australian dollar. I think the market is looking at the Australian dollar quite unfavorably, simply based on the carry trade has diminished, and with the premiums of the Australian dollar actually trading par with the U.S. But I think the Australian dollar, like so many regional currencies, may remain resilient based on China's economic activity. So I feel really supportive, and that might be an outsider call. But I remain relatively positive on the Australian dollar landscape.
Which currencies are your picks for 2018? Any emerging currencies in there?
Well, I kind of like the entire basket. I think just based on the global growth narrative, the two are actually three currencies in the region that I favor right now are going to be the Korean won. I think that's going to be a positive storyline on the global growth narrative, just given their size of their exports. I think Thailand continues to do well simply because it's starting to accelerate its trade amongst all the regional export partners, and I think this will be buoyant well, especially on a positive China story. But my favorite call remains the Malaysian ringgit. I've been very bullish on the Malaysian ringgit this year, even since towards the end of 27. I completely thought it was undervalued, and it's starting to come show some serious strength. I think there's two reasons for that. One is the buoyant economic and macro line, along with the export sector. I think these portend well going forward, and I also believe the BNM is moving forward with an interest rate hike as early as January, and a possible follow up hike later on in 2018. And I think this is going to underpin Malaysian ringgit sentiment into the new year.
Great. So what's your view on the ringgit moving forward for like 2018 onwards? Do you see, or what's your call for that?
Yeah, I remain fairly positive. I think with the Bank Negara taking a more hawkish stance, I think the hawkish stance is really predicated on two factors. I think one, they want to get in front of inflation, and the stronger currency acts as a significant foil against importing inflation. Also, too, I think when you look at the payments towards servicing foreign debt. I think a stronger ringgit is more favorable. And I think we have to keep in mind that monetary policies on distant shores cannot be ignored. So in other words, if the U.S. starts to raise interest rates, I think it's only plausible that we may see the BNM, you know, not as aggressively as the Fed, but continue to have this hawkish lean so they can at least offset some of the risk of servicing their foreign currency debt.
Currencies aside, a recent rally in oil has the U.S. crude oil hitting fresh two-year highs. Your outlook on oil prices?
Well, obviously, there's going to be a lot of focus, and this OPEC meeting has been seriously anticipated, and thankfully, it's finally upon us. But I think the deck is fairly stacked for a production cut extension. I think anything short of a complete buy-in by Russia to roll over the production cut through the remainder of or through 2018 could spook the markets and may cause oil prices to plummet. However, I think they've guided us too positively. OPEC has guided us too positively over the past month to let this deal fail. So I'm almost quite sure that it's going through. However, the bar has been set very high for any welcoming surprises. So I still think there's some downside risks are quite sizable if there's any sort of pushback from any of the OPEC members on this. So I'm positive, but I'm also guardedly optimistic on it. However, I think the fly in the ointment here is going to be shale oil production. I think this is one of the concerns that the market always faces and will continue to face going forward because, you know, if we look back historically, to bring wells online was almost a 3 to 6 month project only a year and a half ago, but now we're measuring that in weeks. So we could see a serious escalation of shale oil production in the U.S. as oil prices continue to move higher. So this could act as a buffer to higher oil prices throughout 2018.
Over in the U.S., it just had its Black Friday sales over the weekend, and it was a record-breaking day for shoppers spending over $5 billion U.S. dollars online. And the optimism is also felt in the markets there, with the S&P 500 and NASDAQ closed at record highs on Friday. Just how sustainable is this optimism fueling the markets?
Well, you know, I think retailers look at Black Friday with a high level of importance, and you know, it's a big shopping day for them, and you know, the success really plays well for their stock value. I think, by all accounts, from boots on the ground, this was a fairly successful Black Friday, and I would expect the big box retailers to continue shares to continue moving upwards. However, I think where the real focus, at least from my concern, is going to be on what the distribution was towards online purchases, especially with retail giants like Amazon. So I'm actually waiting for the concrete data to come out before making any final judgments. But I feel pretty positive about both spaces. I think the big box is likely surprised, and I think the Amazons of the U.S. likely overshot. So I think all around it's going to be a big win for the retailers coming out of Black Friday this year.
Stephen, can we go back to the Malaysian ringgit for a bit? It's currently trading right now at 4 ringgit 11 cent to the US dollar. Do you think it can hit 4 ringgit eventually?
Yeah, I think I feel, you know, quite optimistic that would be the direction that I see it head in. Of course, this week we're faced with an immense amount of two-way risk because we've not only have regional issues in China hitting the markets right now, but we've also got some key data that's coming out in the U.S. One is the PC inflation data, which actually could influence the U.S. interest rate curve, and I think this is the biggest obstacle towards a stronger ringgit. We've also got OPEC coming out, which could also, you know, waive the prices of oil, and we know that oil prices can play quite sensitive into the ringgit basket. And also, we have the U.S. tax reform vote coming out of the Senate. So I think there's a lot of two-way risk this week, but I think once we pass the two-way risk, I expect the weaker U.S. dollar narrative to come through, and I think the Federal Reserve Board is going to keep a real gradual pace of interest rate hikes through 2018, and I think this offers a positive view for the Malaysian ringgit going forward.
Thank you for your insight, Stephen. That was Stephen Innes, Head of Trading in Asia-Pac, Awanda, in Singapore.
Well, thanks, Joy. Something to look forward to. Yes. 4 ringgit cents. Maybe even four ringgit, perhaps, yes, by next year. Something definitely to look forward to. After this, we're going to be looking at the top local business news. Insurance just got more affordable for many Malaysians thanks to Bank Negara. Details next on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
5-Hour Tea with caffeine from green tea leaves. It's delicious, energizing, and comes in 3 amazing flavors. With 0 sugar and 4 calories, it fits your life. With its compact size and portability, it goes where you go. To the campsite, the hiking trail, the beach, without weighing you down. 5-Hour Tea, caffeine from green tea leaves. Release your natural side from the makers of 5-Hour Energy. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Try 5-Hour Tea today. Look for 5-Hour Tea at your local Circle K store.